Nikki, it's your mother. No, you never call me. I mean, I wonder, is your finger broken?
Just don't tell my mother.
It's your mother.
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 No, you never call me.
Just don't tell my mother. Just don't.
Where the hell are you? You are never home.
Hello, my family. Welcome back to Don't Tell My Mother. I'm your host, Nikki Levy. I'm happy to be coming to you from my closet in Los Angeles. First of all, how is everyone? Are you having a good week? Are you feeling good? Are you enjoying fall? Are you having pumpkin spice lattes? I actually had one for the first time in my life. I felt like a basic bitch, but I'm going to be honest. Absolutely delicious. Today's episode are two of my very dear friends, Jamie Kelton and Robin Hopkins. They are podcasters, actors, authors. They have a podcast called If These Ovaries Could Talk. And they are two wonderful lesbian women who have devoted the last, I don't know, decade of their lives to talking about fertility, specifically stories of how LGBTQ people make families. Now, I've been a fan of this podcast for, I don't know, the last 5 or 6 years, and I reached out to them to come on Don't Tell My Mother because obviously I am going through fertility myself. The transfer is going to be soon. I promise I will keep you posted. And I wanted some community on my baby-making journey. And you know what? People talk about fertility a lot, but queer fertility is really its own animal. And I wanted to do a little mishpucha, a little family. They're in New York. I'm in LA. We made beautiful music over the podcast airwaves. Here is Jamie and Robin right after this.
Just don't tell my mother.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Is it sweater weather in New York?
Not yet. It's actually like really humid today. And
really?
It rained.
It's still very confusing. It's like it's shorts with a sweatshirt maybe and then sweatpants, but you're sweaty.
It's bisexual weather.
Yeah. It's bisexual weather.
It's bisexual.
I know you guys because you have a long-standing podcast called If These Ovaries Could Talk. You give the log line of this podcast because I think you'll do a better job than me.
Oh, God.
Two
we're so
lesbians
bad at
chatting about non-traditional families.
Boom! Okay.
With non-traditional families as well.
You have like single people, couple people, sometimes more than couple people talking about like how they made a family or how they want to make a family. So it's like IVF, surrogacy, adoption. What am I missing?
People who were raised by LGBTQ parents.
Queer spawn.
Queer spawn. I don't queer like to call
spawn.
It queer spawn. Yeah, that's the term for them. That's,
I didn't know that. That should be like the sequel to Squid Game.
It feels so sci-fi.
Sounds like tadpoles to me.
It sounds like
in
we
the
made
ocean.
It in the lab. But I mean, you know, sometimes we were made in labs.
Yeah.
I mean,
so.
No, by the end of this podcast, let's come up with a better term.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh,
okay.
God. Good luck. Okay. We've tried. So, yeah.
We're going to do it. Break it out and tell me what each of your, we'll start with Robin. What do each of your family structures look like?
I have a wife named Mary, a daughter who's 12, and a son who's 10.
Okay. And the son and the daughter are both with you and Mary, from you and
yep.
Mary.
And I had both the kids, but they have different donors, both of them from a sperm bank, but they have different donors because when I had the first one, I was all, oh, I'm not doing that again. We're going to adopt. And that was hard. Pregnancy stinks. And I sold back the sperm. And then...
No!
And then when we went to have the second after, I was like, oh, that wasn't so hard. Let's just do it again. But he was out of the program. And then I, long story short, trips to Machu Picchu, somewhere, wherever I went. Where did I go, Jamie? Bogota, Colombia.
Bogota.
To try to have a kid by the same donor. And that didn't work. And then now we have
this
family.
The donor lived in Bogota?
No, but a woman who had a baby by the same donor had one more vial. And we couldn't figure out how to ship it. So she was like, just bring the mountain to Muhammad. And I was like, I don't go to church, but I think that means I come to you.
You came
and
to
I
Jesus.
Did. Yeah, I did. And it didn't work. And then eventually just got a new donor. And so they were meant to be how they were meant to be. You know, it was like they were, you know, so they have different donors.
And
so,
you had IUI, meaning it when you,
yep,
you
they got stuck it in there.
Wow.
So you right didn't in, even right do, like, non-medicated, nothing. Just, they just put it in there. I got pregnant.
And how old were you?
I was very lucky.
Damn.
38 and 40.
You are a fertile myrtle.
Yeah.
She is.
Yeah.
So I have my wife, Anne, and we have a 7-year-old daughter and a 3-year-old son.
Okay.
My wife gave birth to our daughter, and I gave birth to our son. Same donor. We got the same donor, but we had to bring him out of retirement at the sperm bank. It was a whole long...
Wait, you like knocked on his door and said, come back out?
No.
Come out wherever you are.
Yeah.
Well, I've learned
you track that him down?
If you, well, at sperm banks, if you have a child with the donor and you run out of sperm and he's retired, because, you know, they retire the donors after a certain amount of vials or a certain amount of
families
are produced.
Because they don't want the Vince Vaughn movie where there's like 1,000 children.
Yes. But if a family comes and says, we want to make another child with this donor, they will go. And they already have one child with the donor. They will go and ask the donor if he's willing to come out of retirement for that family. But the caveat is you have to buy up all of the vials he produces. So it's moolah. It's
and there's
money.
A wait too, because they have to re-quarantine it, test it, and
to
do
go
all
through
that
the
stuff.
Whole
so
6-month process
time.
And it's like a whole thing.
So do you know anything about this donor?
I mean, just what we know from the sperm bank. And we found out when we went back that he's a teacher. But we
Holy
didn't know
shit.
He was a teacher at that point. He was still in school when we first chose him.
So this is like you. So the sperm bank went to the donor and said, hey, you made a really good daughter first. Daughter. And this couple wants to have another kid. Will you jizz in the cup again?
Basically.
And he said, yeah.
Yeah. And so.
Yeah. Because he can say no, too. He can say no.
Yeah, and we were lucky. He said yes. We didn't have to choose another donor because we really didn't want to. And especially because we each gave, like, they would have not been genetically tied at all. And we wanted them to have a genetic tie. After listening to all these families on our podcast, I realize now that was, like, silly. The genetics mean nothing. But at that time, when I was going through it, it meant a lot. And I really, really struggled with the idea that I wouldn't have a tie to one of the kids.
Yeah.
When you're going through it, it's just hard to get the bird's eye view and to see it from a distance.
Yeah. Can I tell you guys, I think it's hard when we're going through anything, but especially fertility with something with such high stakes.
Yeah.
Did you guys have the talks with your kids, the ones that I guess that are of age, of, hey, where did you come from? And have they asked her? How did it go? How did you do it?
From day one.
It's not like one conversation. It's 100 conversations. It starts... starts off like when they're very young, and then you add to it as you go. Like for me, the impetus was like my daughter kept walking up to men on the street and saying, "That's my daddy." And we were like, "No."
And you know what's funny? My daughter did that too, which is hilarious. But
it was like three. At three, it was as soon as she went to daycare, because she looked around and she saw dads coming to pick up, and she all of a sudden realized there was this thing called dads, and so that we got this really specific
so cute,
book.
Robin.
Yeah, it was adorable. Except the first guy was like definitely homeless, and I was like, if you could back away from him, that'd be great.
I hope that's not your dad.
Yeah, but we got like a really specific book that was exactly like two moms, IUI, donor sperm. And then we just started reading it. And whenever she would do that thing on the street, we would read it a bunch of nights in a row. And then if she had any questions, we would answer them. But we really let her lead. And then we've just added on over the years. Like then it became about donor siblings. Then it became about like, oh, you have different donors. Then it became, oh, these are some of your donor siblings, because we're in Facebook groups, like secret Facebook groups with them.
Yes.
Oh, and these people use the same donor. And oh, that's Maxine's donor. And so now it's like my daughter talks to, my son doesn't seem to care, but my daughter does talks to a lot of her siblings in like Facebook Messenger.
Has she met
and there's
them?
One that lives not too far away that she bumps into sometimes. And it's crazy. They look alike.
When they've met siblings of theirs, do you sense a connection? Or is it like they've met anybody else at the playground?
It's anybody else. At least in my experience, it's anybody else in the playground. You know, it's like if they like a kid, they like a kid. If they don't, they don't. And it doesn't matter who they are.
Right. I think it's like siblings, right?
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
Are your donors open donor? Meaning like...
Yeah.
And I'll explain this for people, like, meaning like the person said, oh, I'm open to being contacted when this kid is 18.
So yes.
And I think it's a commitment, right? Like, if contacted, they have to respond or no?
No, they don't have to.
They have to be open to the contact, but then they can say no. But I'll tell you what, somebody in one of my kids' groups swabbed their kids and found the donor, knew the donor, and then shared it with all of us. It was, I was not ready for that information.
I have to tell you, that would,
I was not.
To me, I don't think that's okay. Personally, I don't think that's okay. I think that's a breach of privacy.
I wasn't thrilled. First of all, they can send you like a cease and desist for that. Like, it's against the rules that you signed. You agree that you will not in any way track down the donor. And there was a woman who did that, and the sperm bank sued. But that, and then also it was a breach of privacy for all of the other people because she responded on behalf of the group. It really freaked me out. It really freaked me out because it wasn't. First of all, I thought the conversation was coming like 10 more years. Like, I thought I had till he was 18. Like, I didn't think it was happening now. So my head wasn't in the right place. And then also just like, I don't, like, who the dude was, I was kind of like, oh, okay. Like, I was like, I had to, it was not who I pictured or who I thought, or it, like, I had to have a reckoning with it. And we just put it away. Like, they created another group with him because he was open.
Wow.
He was open. They created like another group, and I was just like, I don't want any part of that. I was like, I'm going to let my son lead that, and then if he wants to, he can.
Right. It's his decision.
Yeah.
I don't know about you guys, but for me, I saw the picture of the donor as a child, as a young child, but there's no adult pictures. I don't know where he's from. Yep. I don't know his name. You know, I don't know key information, and I don't want to know. As much as I'm curious.
You don't want to know. You don't want to know. All of a sudden, I was on the dude's LinkedIn profile, and I'm judging his career path.
No,
and
you're stalking the donor.
No, they sent it. They sent the link, and I couldn't help myself from clicking it. And it was like, I didn't want that information, you know?
On the other side, I think I wouldn't mind knowing, honestly.
Is that true? Really?
I think so. I mean, I don't know. I haven't been faced with it, but I wanted to know down the road.
I'm curious. I just didn't want to know now. I wasn't ready. Personally,
yeah. What was the hardest part about knowing, Robin? Like, what do you feel like was the toughest? What was the revelation that you did not expect? Besides,
he was gay, which I didn't expect that.
Whoa. Because sperm banks don't take gay donors.
They don't take gay men, so he must have been. So that was one. And
which
then he was like
thing.
a former actor.
No, not a former actor. You're screwed, Robin. So you are coming on my podcast and you are going to each share a story that you wouldn't want your mom to know. And then Robin, we are going to meet your daughter. What's her name? Maxine?
Maxine.
I already love Maxine now.
She's excited. She's excited. It's Maxine.
I think Jamie should go first.
Oh, God.
I don't know what story you're going to tell. I'm so excited, Jamie. Go.
Tell me everything.
Oh, my God. I don't even know where to start. This is so awkward.
I love it.
This is a story about that time I was forced to tell my mother that I had had sex. So, in defense of myself, I was the youngest. I mean, I was the last one to do any of the stuff. I was always the last one. I grew up in a city, and kids were doing stuff that I think kids not in a city might not have actually been doing. I mean, there was a lot of sex in middle school. There was drugs in middle school.
I grew up in New York and I was not having any sex.
Well, I don't know. Maybe San Francisco's a little different, but
yeah, probably.
There, you know, I was the last one to have sex, and I was in ninth grade when I had sex. So,
Louise.
And I was the last one. They were like, Jamie, when are you going to lose your virginity?
What is wrong with you, Jamie?
Like, literally, the pressure that they would that was
away
put
from
on
driving.
Me.
Have
oh
sex.
My God. Jamie. And I literally felt pressure to have sex. And I finally, so this is the story. So I went to high school. I went to a new high school with all new friends. I left the public school system and I went to a Catholic school just because it's what my parents could afford.
So you switched schools to be a new person?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
So I'm in this new school and I want to prove that I'm cool. And I want to prove that I'm one of them. And they're all doing the same shit my friends were doing in my other school and all my other friends are doing. They're all, nobody's a virgin anymore. And the first question you get asked, I swear to God, like one of the first questions was always, hey, what's your name? Oh, yeah, how old are you? Are you a virgin? Like it was like that.
What the hell? What are these Catholic girls doing?
Are you a virgin? And it's not just, this I mean, like it Billy was Joel, everywhere.
Only the good die young.
I don't know what it was about where I was in that pocket of time, but that's how the peer pressure to lose your virginity was very strong, and it affected me. And I was like I said, I had been around all the bases, like I never was into blowjobs.
You just literally did this.
I know.
You're never into beach.
I never did blowjobs. I don't.
But bases one to three.
I'm a lesbian.
Bases one.
I've been. I had done what you could do.
A little handy.
I think
handy.
The BJ is sloppy third.
Yeah, I'm not into that. Never was. I'm a lesbian. Come to find out. But so, so I had this guy friend, Miguel, and since sixth grade, we have been basically like, what do you call it? Like kiss buddies. Like we would just always get together and like make
friends
out and
benefits.
Do stuff. Friends with benefits. From sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade, we were never a thing. We were never an item. He was never my boyfriend.
Right.
But he was just kind of like that friend that I would get together and try stuff with.
Yeah.
And
I didn't have any friends like that. Jeez.
I mean, it really sounds bad. I feel like it's putting me in a very bad light. But
no.
You know,
stop
I was a very sweet kid.
Yourself.
I was nice. So high school comes around. And my friend, I had one friend who was also a virgin. And we said, all right, we're going to do it. We're going to invite our friends with benefits over.
Yes.
And we're going to do it. We're going to both do it on that same night in separate rooms. Mm-hmm. And so we did. We invited them over. And parents were out of town or away for the night or something. Oh, my God. This is, like, so awkward.
And you bring Miguel so and your friend invites.
Awkward. I don't know if my mom knows this
Jonathan.
Part of the story. Oh, my God. And so Miguel came over, and let's call him Tomas. I don't even know why I said that name. That's the weirdest name.
I was going with Jonathan, but I like Tomas.
Yeah, Jonathan works. And we did it. And I'm not sure she actually went through with it, but I did. Did it. I mean, it was kind of like, I'm not even sure if it really counts because I'm not sure it really went all the way
one,
in. Like,
two,
it was like,
over.
It was not much. There was not much to it. Not much happened. Then, a couple weeks later, I'm doing my play practice. I'm calling it play practice because my wife calls it practice. You have practice? Because she's from Queens and she does sports. I'm in rehearsal because I was
in rehearsal for
theater.
A show. Okay.
I was a musical theater girl and I hurt my toe. And so my mom has to take me to the ER to get my toe checked out. And we
That's
go in the doctor's office. Yeah. Go in the doctor's office. We're in the doctor's office. She's asking me all the questions. And then she says, Mom, I'm going to need you to leave the room for a second. I just want to ask Jamie some questions.
Oh, no.
Mom leaves the room.
It's the worst.
And she says, before I give you this x-ray, I need to know if you're pregnant. And I was like, I don't know why I told the truth. I don't know to this day why I told the truth. I hadn't got my period, but I was 14. Like, my periods were all over the place.
Right.
Also, it really didn't count. It didn't count. But I freaked out. I got so scared. And I was like, I don't know. And the doctor looks at me and she goes, well, are you going to tell your mom or am I?
Oh.
I feel like that's illegal, by the way.
Well, it was one of the worst moments of my life. And I'm really close with my mom. And all my life, my friends would make fun of me because I was the good one. I wouldn't do this stuff because, and my phrase was always, you guys, my mom, I can't. And they would make fun of me like, oh, Jamie's mom, she can't cut school. Jamie's mom, she can't, you know, like I was always afraid of disappointing my mom or letting my mom down.
So what happened then?
So I said, I will. I will tell her.
Oh, my God. And it's like when you're telling her, like, what? You're not even, you don't know anything, right? It's not like you're telling her you are pregnant or.
No, I had to tell. She brings my mom, Miss Kelton, your daughter has something to say. She brings my mom. She closes the door. Something to tell you. She closes the door behind her. And my mom's like, what? What's going? What? You know, she's got that concerned look that I can't stand.
Yeah.
And I just said, I've had sex. And she was like, what? I mean, the disappointment. I'm so afraid of disappointing my mom. How she feels about me means the world to me. And the disappointment and the shock on her face, my heart just dropped. It was awful. And then, of course, well, with who? How? What are you talking? And then the questions and you know, and so it was the most awkward moment of my life. It was awful. And then we had to go, I had to pee in the cup, and then we had to go walk it to the lab. And then
this
as we're walking,
horrible. This woman is horrible.
It's terrible. That as we're walking through the person. Waiting room to the lab, who's there but my aunt and uncle?
No.
with my pee cup. And I'm really close with this aunt and uncle, my mother's brother.
Meanwhile, you're walking around with your broken toe. You're like, my toe still hurts.
They were there because they just had to go for a visit for something. And they just happened to be in the waiting room. And I walked, what are you guys doing
here?
This
is your life. It's terrible.
What are you guys doing here? And I was like holding my pregnancy pee cup. Like, my toe.
This is also, you could get a toe x-ray, isn't it?
Yeah. And then my toe wasn't even broken.
A sex ray.
And then I wasn't pregnant and my toe wasn't broken. And I had to ruin my mother's whole idea of who I was in that moment. It's just awful. So my mom knows, but we still don't talk about it. I can't even talk about it with her. It's so awkward to bring up. And she still, every time it does get up, come brought up, she has the
question.
Well, so get up. Every time it gets up, she has the questions. Well, who was he? And what? Well, where did you do it?
Did
and
you tell
I
her it was Miguel even, in her house?
She never met Miguel. She never knew Miguel.
It but was did
just
she know it was
my
her house?
Friend from school. No.
She does now.
No, but now she does. Oh, my God.
Listens to everything.
Now I feel like we have to call her.
No. This is so awkward because the look on her face is just the worst. The only other time it happened was when I told her I was gay and that face came back.
As bad as the sexy toe?
It's just that sunken faced look that is like, I don't know you. You know, like that. I don't know you. I thought I knew you, but I don't know you. And it just is heartbreaking. It's terrible.
Okay, you have to think about whether you want to call your mother, though, and tell her that. Just because... It's so, I'm just saying, maybe she knew. I'm just saying, you sometimes think your mom doesn't know things and she does. She might know.
All right. I mean, I'll tell her. She knows the story, so it's not like that's going to be a huge shock. I can do that. You want me to call her right now?
Sure, call her. If you want but to. It's truly up to you.
And just put her on speakerphone?
Yeah, put her on speaker. Oh, God. I'm scared now. Now I'm actually nervous. Is she going to get mad?
Hello.
Hi, Mom.
Hi.
What are you doing?
Just sitting down watching television.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm guesting on a podcast called Don't Tell My Mother.
Oh.
And you have to tell a story that you didn't want your mom to know when you were a kid. This is so awkward.
So you want me to listen?
I want you to listen, but you already know the story, so that's great. So just thinking there might be an aspect of the story that you didn't know. So I'm just, so remember, you know, remember the whole toe incident in the doctor's office?
The toe incident.
At the doctor's office. That when we went to the doctor's office and I had to get an x-ray, and I couldn't get an x-ray before I told you I had sex.
Oh, I do remember that. Yes. Okay.
Wow. Okay. I didn't know if you knew that I had the place. Do you know where I had sex? And it really wasn't like sex, Mom. It was like nothing. It was barely sex. Like, it doesn't really even count.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know where it was?
No, I don't.
Oh, it was at our house.
Oh. Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I thought you might laugh. Like, it's so funny at this point. It's just so long ago.
Yeah, right. Okay.
How does she feel? Is she upset?
So you're not upset, Mom, about that?
Who was this guy? I don't even know who this guy was.
You never met him. It was just a friend from school that I was friendly with a lot.
Real friendly.
A lot.
Yeah, you never met him. You never knew him, so it doesn't really matter because you never knew him.
It was...
Okay.
So awkward. This is so awkward.
It's hilarious.
But it's not. It's okay. I'm not. I'll just listen to it. If I have questions, I'll listen. I'll ask it.
Okay. All right. So. Okay. Well, that's good.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for taking the call.
Okay. Okay.
Okay, Mom. Bye, I love Sue. You.
I love you too.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Ooh.
It was awkward. That's so okay. awkward.
Oh. I think she was. Are you drinking?
No, it's iced tea. Oh. I wish.
I feel like you guys are going to have a nice talk after, and you're going to like, you're going to have closure on a moment that was not. That's what I think is going to happen.
I do too.
Okay.
Robin, you're not off the hook. You're in the hot seat.
This is a story about that one time I got in trouble with the cops because of a single beer.
We'll be back with Jamie and Robin right after this.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I was 19.
Yes.
And my dad, like, would make up for, like, you know, not being there for my childhood. He lived in the same town that I went to college in by saying, like, come by, I'll give you $10 in gas money. So I would go get my gas money, and then we would go buy beer. And we did. We went and got some beer. And me and my friend, it was a lovely Tuesday afternoon. It was sunny. It was bright. And we were like, let's get some beer and let's play some Frisbee on the quad. And I went into the store. And normally the place didn't card me, but they did. And I used a fake ID. And we get in the car. And my friend opens her beer. And, you know, and we're about to pull out. And she takes a big sip of the beer. And I look over and I see a cop car that's like no more than 15 feet from us. That was there to catch speeders. And I said, did you just take a sip of that beer? And she said, yeah.
In front of the cop.
And I said, okay. And so they turn the lights on. They come over. And, you know, and he's pulling us out of the car. And, like, the whole, like, just hard-ass thing coming at us. And he's like, how old are you? And I'm like, 18. And he's like, how old are you? And she's like, 18. Then she's like, oh, wait, I'm 19. And I'm like, okay, that's helpful. I'm like, it's still 21. I'm like, none of this is helpful. So they put us in the back of the cop car. They take us in, and they are just scaring the crap out of me. And she just had, like, got a ticket because I had presented an ID. So it was, like, criminal impersonation. It was, you know.
Oh, you presented a fake ID?
I did. It was, like, some random girl that, you know, like, got handed down from people to people. As soon as someone turned 21, you got that random, like, Massachusetts license.
Yes.
The girl looked nothing like me. It was absurd.
Yes.
You know, I have to call my friends. They've got to come pick me up. And the cops, and I'm just, I have no game. I started sobbing from the second the guy came to, like, the whole, like, I'm just crying the whole time. And now he's, like, starting to ease up because I won't stop crying. And I'm getting fingerprinted. I'm literally getting fingerprinted. And he said, you know, so what's your major? And I said, what's my major? I'm going to prison. I was like,
no.
It's like,
you're like, I don't have a future anymore.
Oh, I was like, I'm ruined. Because he was like, I don't know if you'll be kicked out of college for this. And I was like, oh, my God. I was like, and I just kept, like, sobbing more and more and more. And the cop had said to me, like, listen to me, honey. He was like, there's going to be this program. It's called diversion. You're going to do it. You're going to ask for diversion. You're going to go do some, like, community service. And it goes away. It just goes away.
I've never heard of diversion.
It was, I think, a local thing. So, like, cut to, like, I had a court date. So I show up and I'm like, I'm going to diversion. Like, I'm not thinking anything of it.
Diversion.
And I'm just sitting there, you know, waiting for my name to be called. What do I know for prison? So they call my name and they asked me to come up, and I'm like, I'm again almost like throwing up again. And they said, how do you plead? And I said, how do I plead? I was like, they said something about diversion. I was like a thing with community service.
That's why I'm here.
And the judge was just like, just go sit down. Like, please, just fucking go sit down. And they enrolled me in this diversion program, and I had to do some community service. And then I had to meet with, like, a parole officer for, like, 6 weeks. I, like, pull up, and I had to keep, like, a journal. And, like, every time I went out drinking with my friends, I wrote, went to see a band. And the guy was like, well, you really like music. And I was like, well, you know,
I'm a groupie.
So I'm very cultural. And only later, when I was getting ready to do second parent adoption, And I had to.
Oh, shit.
And they had to run through all your stuff. Did I panic? And I called, and it was not sealed. It was supposed to be sealed. And so I had to, like, do some paperwork, and then they sealed it up. And I wanted to get the mug shots because to see me and my, like, my, because I had a mullet, a permed mullet, you know.
Oh, my it God. Was, you know, I can see this.
Because, you know. Yeah, yeah. You could see it all day. And I was probably in, like, a J. Crew rugby holding up my sign that says, dumbass, you know, 97524.
I think that's my donor number.
It is currently, rumor has it, sealed and never to be heard from again. But, however, so I graduated. I graduated high school early. So I was 20 when I graduated college. Like, I had just turned 20. Mm-hmm. And so that meant that the whole time I was there, I was, like, illegal in the bars. And I was, like, not going to not go. That's where all my friends were. So there was this thing, and it was a small town. So the cops would come in, and they would walk around and card a few people. And every time they did, I would sprint to the bathroom and hide. And I would say to my friends, come get me. Come get me when the cops leave. And my fucking friends would leave me in the bathroom every single time. I'd be in there for, like, 24 hours. I'd be like, God damn it. Are the cops on? They'd be like, oh, sorry. Like... So it was like I was nervous until I turned 21, because if I got in trouble, they said they would bring it back.
So you had to be extra careful after this happened because...
Well, I clearly wasn't. I was still drunk in the bars. I just hid in the bathrooms. Like, that was my... Which, by the way, the first place the cops would go is to the bathrooms. So I was panicked the whole rest of college. But I never told my parents until... I never told my dad ever, I don't think. And I think I told my mom maybe like... a year or two later, yes. After it had all been handled.
Have you had to teach Maxine about, you know, I mean, there's no drinking and driving really because you live in the city?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, there's not that, but more like, and that's what's interesting is like, I was really like tossing and turning about it, like how this was going to be told to my daughter because I'm like, I'm in a different position. Like, I'm not fun Robin. Like, when you tell this story, you're fun Robin. Yeah. You know, it's like, look at me. I was drunk. I fell off the bus and I was throwing up here, whatever. You know, it's like, but then there's like the when you shift to your parent brain, mm-hmm. everything's a lesson. And everything's, if you're going to admit it, I did that. But here's the reasons maybe you don't want to do it. Or here's the things you want to think about if you're going to do it. You know, but at the same time, because Jamie and I were talking about this too beforehand, like, nobody was telling me anything. Like, I did have alcoholic parents, but like nobody, so things would happen and then you never talked about them the next day. You just woke up and you went on and that was the way it was.
Yep.
And so I am talking to them now about drinking and about, you know, or about drugs, even from a point of view of like, you have to be careful because this is our family structure. Or I'm telling them about my mom and she died. You know, like
of alcoholism?
Ultimately, yeah. Okay. I mean, emphysema, I think, might have been what was the end. But it was, I think she was also on pills and things and she just wasted away, really.
Yeah. So your family, you guys have a history with this. So what do you want to do differently with Maxine than your mom did with you?
I think what I'm trying to bring into the conversation is like about peer pressure.
That's awesome.
Happened to me.
Yeah.
I was talking with Robin about how, like, it's a hard, and Robin touched on this, but, like, how you talk to your daughter about this is totally different than how you're going to talk to your friends about it and stuff. So I think it's going to be a really, really poignant, wonderful conversation to see.
Let's call your daughter.
Hi, Maxine.
What's up, Maxine?
This guy.
Oh, my God. Maxine. Okay, Maxine, you're 12 years old?
Yes.
Well, this is a podcast where people talk about stories that they don't want their moms to know. So, and then sometimes people bring their moms and sometimes people bring their kids. So that's where you come in.
That's you. She put lip gloss on for this.
I was wearing lip gloss before. I just reapplied it.
Oh, my God, Maxine. Do you have a relationship with Robin where she... tells you a lot, you tell her a lot, or is it more like, you know, what do you think?
I mean, I tell her a lot, I would say. I tell her most things. We talk a lot about, like, feelings or whatever. Like, I usually come to her if I have a problem. But we don't really talk about a lot of anything with her, I don't think.
Is that true?
Occasionally, but not really a lot. Like, you kind of just go, like, it's been a hard day, and you just don't talk about it anymore. Like, you don't really say anything.
Kids are so funny. You guys are so funny.
I know.
Your mom told a story today on the podcast, and she was just going to give you a little snippet of it.
Okay.
And then I want to know what you think.
I told the story about in college, about how I was in the car, and we had bought beer, and I was underage. And I had used a fake ID, so an ID that was not me that presented me as older. Mm. And my friend drank the beer, and the police saw us, and I got arrested.
Okay.
thoughts?
Did you go to jail?
I did not go to jail. I did get fingerprinted. They did take my mugshot. Like, they run your fingerprints to see.
Oh, can I see the mugshot?
I don't have it.
I wish I did. Mugshot too. She had a mullet. She had a mullet.
You had a mullet.
Maybe I'll double down and see if I can find it.
Your daughter didn't even know you had a mullet.
I mean, this is the most important part of the story.
No.
Yes, you know I had a mullet.
I think I found out at Ithaca, but like that was it.
I had a mullet with a perm. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that
picture. I was
growing
the mullet out at that point, I think. It's not cute. Listen, a lot of people in upstate New York had the mullet. Still have it.
So your mom got into trouble, but was able to not necessarily get arrested, right?
I did some community service.
Correct.
I had to, like, go talk to, like, a person every week. And then after a period of time, they said, okay, just don't get in trouble again. And if you do get in trouble again,
and then
we're going to bring
again,
this back.
Like, a week later.
This is where it gets.
She knows you very well, your daughter.
What?
I don't know.
Maybe she was listening in the other room.
I mean, like, there was this birthday video that, like, we made for mom. And, like, there wasn't a single person who didn't talk about her obsession with margaritas.
What?
There wasn't a single
Jokes
person.
Jokes on you, Robin. Okay, yeah. Maxine, what has mom taught you? Because you're at an important age, right? Like, 12 is kind of like an important age. You're becoming...
I guess, yeah.
You know what
kind of
is.
You're at a turning point of freedom. And
yeah.
What has mom taught you about... You know, drinking and drugs and that those important conversations.
We had too many conversations that were repeated, but I would say the main one is like peer pressure. We had like a pretty large conversation about that, which I don't have a huge problem with that right now. Like, I don't give in to anything, especially jaywalking. Like, that is one of the ones that I've never given up on.
But we also talk about how, like, peer pressure can come out of nowhere.
Yeah,
it's like,
I think how when you get older, it's going to get harder and harder as you get older and you want to be more likable and, like, blah.
What do you remember of your mom teaching you about, you know, where you came from and how you... Yeah.
We had an entire... Like, they got a book.
Yeah.
And we've been learning about it, like, from the start. Like, it wasn't everything of, like... Well, now you're, like, 58. Now let's tell you... Like, we learned from, like, the beginning. Like, they had a book for us when we were, like... I was, like, 3, maybe? 4? Mm-hmm. Like, from a pretty early age, I knew what it was. I, like, had later on questions.
Yeah.
Kind of, I guess, about, like, how it worked or whatever. But I was always kind of... But I was kind of just told, like, this dude gave stuff. There was never, like, a stage where we didn't, like, talk about it. Like, we've always talked about it, I would say.
Do you have other kids at school with gay parents or queer parents?
Like, one or two, but, like, I have a very specific memory from, like, 3rd grade of, like, talking about it. And then, like, the entire class was, like asking me a ton of, like, questions and everything. And, like, not a lot of people know what it means. Like, I was, like, met this girl, and she's, like, my friend or whatever, and some kid was, like, asking about it in, like, the nicest way. Like, they weren't, like, bullying me or whatever, but they, like, they were, like, so are you adopted? And the girl, like, automatically answered. She was, like, no, it's a sperm donor. And I didn't even tell her that, and she automatically knew it. And I was so, like, taken by shock, because no one ever knows about it. Everybody just naturally assumes that I'm adopted. Which is weird.
But there's a lot more kids who are, like, gender fluid or,
yeah,
like,
my school,
in her school.
I say this a lot, but at my school, you're kind of either gay or homophobic. So everybody's kind of just a giant mix. But, yeah, at my school, you're, like, there's a lot of people who are not straight, like, gay or trans or... There's a lot of people who
are. And what grade
trans
are you in?
Or,
8?
I'm in 7th grade.
But
there's 6th graders, I came out, I think, in 5th grade. Kids came out in 4th grade. Like, it's been happening for a while.
Do you identify as something other than straight?
I'm bisexual.
Oh, cool. Awesome. That's so cool. And like when you came out to Robin, what did you tell her?
It wasn't a big thing. I was just talking about how I had a crush on a girl from camp, and Mom was just like, okay. Like, it wasn't a big thing. It just happened. It just happened. And like, cause like all of my friends are like, it's not really a big thing anymore.
We were born in the wrong time.
Yeah, because it's like a thing of like, except my friend, like I was talking about earlier, when she came out to her mom was like, oh, you're just doing it because it's a trend.
Wow.
Because so many people are coming out as bisexual or omni or...
I like omni.
There's omni, there's...
Pan.
There's pan, there's like... Queer. Yeah, there's queer. There's another one that I can't remember. I think it's like... It's like sounds like Pluto or something. It's something similar. There's a lot like
the demisexual.
There's demisexual. Demi. There's asexual. There's aromantic. There's so many things.
Damn.
There you go.
Yeah.
I love to ask this at the end of every podcast. I want to know, Robin and Maxine, what you love most about each other.
You go first, Maxine.
She gives me money. Kidding. I would. that I feel like if anything ever happened, like if I'm confused about like my emotions or if something's happening at school and I need advice, like I can always go to her for it.
That's beautiful.
I'm gonna say three things. I love her kindness, I love her joy, and I love her, like she's like a little like she takes care of people. Like she, like if somebody's upset, she's the first one to go in and like try to help them. She's like a little mentor. I don't know where she got it from.
I feel like I'm leaning way too much
on a little mama.
Yeah. No. Well, and also just like her little, she's laughing because I'm mama. Oh. So that's why she's laughing. She's not me. But no. Also, I was going to say.
I got the bossiness from you.
Her ability to just not be affected by like things. It's like she really doesn't give two craps what people think.
It's like
Maxine, teach us all. Maxine, all of you. I'm just happy we got to do this together. Maxine, thank you for coming and bringing your 12-year-old wisdom.
Yep.
Thanks, Maxine.
Thank you for having me.
Aww, yep, thank you, ladies.
Thank you so much. This was so fun.
If it's not one thing,
it's your mother.
Thank you for listening, my fam. Now, I realized when this episode ended that we never thought of a better name for queer spawn. So what about COQ, K-O-Q, Kids of Queers? Yes, no, sound off in my DMs on Instagram at Don't Tell My Mother. And something that was really cool, by the way, is that later, I guess it was that night after our episode was recorded, Jamie texted me and her mother left her a voicemail giving some feedback and some thoughts about what Jamie told her. I am going to play that for you right after this. And do us a big favor, if you'd like to help us spread the word about Don't Tell My Mother, give us a 5-star review and subscribe. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, CastBox, and every major listening app. And guys, just remember, our mothers know how to push our buttons because they're the ones who installed them. Mwah! I love you all so much. Call your mothers. Be good to yourselves. Here's Jamie's mama.
Yes, I do remember that time at Kaiser. I was a bit surprised by the news because I didn't know you were close to any boy, particularly. On thinking about it after, I decided that this was a peer pressure thing, totally. I knew all of your girlfriends, and most of them were a lot more promiscuous, if you might say. They probably talked about the fact that they had had sex with a boy and put pressure on you, who was the lone standout, I'm guessing. Decided that it was probably an attempt by you to fit in with your girlfriends. I don't know if that's the actual case. We never did talk about it, but I do remember that conversation very well.
Don't Tell My Mother is created, hosted, and executive produced by Nikki Levy, my daughter. The show is executive produced by John Cryer. Oh my God, I love him. And Lisa Joyner, and Jody Zuckerman Weiner at Discount Sushi. Our producer is Liza Glukoft. Co-producer, Andrew Congdon. Mixed and edited by Donovan Bullen. Theme song by Donovan Bullen and Joe McKenzie. Distributed by Acast. Now go call your mothers.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.